The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Like a little reminder at the end that it's still us. You know, you get the serious music and then the little Nacho Libre nod. Well, guys, this has been a good series so far. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And hopefully you've learned a lot so far. I missed last week. Well, I did catch up and got to watch it on the live stream or watch the recording a little bit later. But you guys got Jerry 2 weeks in a row. Jerry's been doing it. He's just been knocking it out of the park. I'll be honest with you. He's been doing really good. When Jerry does such a fantastic job and then I get up to speak, I'm like, oh, man, I'm not as good as Jerry. Oh, no, no. But anyway, I really hope you guys have been getting a lot of this series. Really, really good stuff. It has been awesome to have Jerry back with us again, bringing his own style. So he's actually in Yuma today, so he's not with us today. But as we've been talking about this whole idea of how this battle, this fight that we face is not a flesh and blood battle. It's a battle against the spiritual realm. And I hope that it's been good for you guys. You've been learning a lot from it. Today, I want to talk to you guys about a powerful weapon that we have in this battle. And I know it's something we've referenced from time to time through this series so far. But so today's title, as Peter said, is Tag Team Match. And it's How Prayer Keeps Us in the Ring. And so I don't know if you watch professional wrestling or if you've ever watched it before, but when it comes to a tag team match where you've got two opponents versus two opponents, or sometimes they have like three on three, so it's, you know, depends, I guess, on what exactly is going on. But there's actually an official thing that even in professional wrestling, which, you know, we all kind of have an idea that a lot of that's choreographed, right? And I don't know if they decide who's going to win the match before the match or how exactly that works, but we know there's a lot of acting that goes into professional. I know. You like those Instagram clips every once in a while. I see those reels, and it's like, if this is, you know, fake, explain this. And then they have some ridiculous scenario in wrestling where they're like using a ladder and all this crazy stuff. So, yeah. So if you watch professional wrestling, then you probably, there's a good chance you've seen a tag team match, right? You've seen one where there's two opponents that are going at it, and one's getting beat up. He's all battered. He's like, he's tired, he's losing strength, right? And then comes the tag in. Well, I didn't realize there was actually some rules to this. I just figured it was just like a big show, but there's actually the guy that's waiting to be tagged in, he has a rope that he has to hold on to. It's 18-inch rope that keeps him in that corner. And I don't know if it's designed to keep that other wrestler from either getting into the mix too early, or if it's just like a silly rule. And but they all follow this rule, right? They all have to hold on to that rope. So if you look closely, if you look at a tag team match, you'll see a guy holding on to this 18-inch rope that's attached to his corner, and then as soon as he gets tagged in, then he's in the match. All right, well, that's not necessarily what we're going to see in this little clip I want to show you right now, but one of my favorite fighting scenes in Nacho Libre, some of you probably already know, it's when they go up against the tag team terrors. And so let's watch this clip, and I think you'll enjoy this.
Oh,
All right, so even in this goofy scene, you have the whole tag team scenario being played out where one guy's just getting beat up, right? Nacho's just getting beat up, and finally he tags in Esqueleto, and the tide changes once, you know, he gets in the ring, because all of a sudden they can take these two guys, because if you finish watching the match, they end up losing to these two little dudes. But anyway, it is pretty funny. But it's a good illustration of when you're in terrible need of help and you can tag team or tag your partner in, then the tide changes for you. And so when that happens, there's fresh strength, there's fresh momentum, fresh courage, fresh hope. All those things happen in the match. But here's the thing. When it comes to our faith, most of us, we don't just decide one day we're going to walk away from our faith. People that end up, you know, stepping away from Jesus or putting distance between themselves and God, it's something that happens when they get exhausted and they get tired or they feel alone and they begin to slowly drift away. And the thing that we want to understand today, or the thing that I really want to communicate to you guys, is that prayer is the thing that keeps us in the ring. It's the thing that keeps us in the fight. And so my hope is that you guys will see that spiritual warfare is not a solo match. It's a tag team battle. And prayer is how we fight for each other. The only way, the only weapon that we have in order for us to go to bat for someone else in our lives is prayer. Ian Bounds said it this way. He said, prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. So if we're not praying, we're really not doing battle when it comes to spiritual things. And especially if we're not praying for each other. We can spend a lot of time praying for ourselves. And maybe you've done that. You've gotten that, you know, that little cycle of just feeling sorry for yourself and just praying for yourself. And the reality is that that's not who we are supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be lifting each other up. Paul illustrates this really well in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Now, these couple verses come after that whole section on the armor of God and on, you know, showing us how we're supposed to be prepared for spiritual battle, the weapons that we're supposed to carry into that battle. And then he ends this whole discussion with these couple of verses. So let me read it for you. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that is the good news. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. So Father, as we jump into this message this morning, as we look at this passage and we begin to ask ourselves what role prayer plays in this spiritual battle that we all face, I pray, Father, you would help us to clearly see that. You would also convict us, Father, so that we might be a people that are doing exactly what you've called us to do when it comes to fighting these spiritual battles. Thanks, God. We love you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're paying attention to what Paul says, the first thing he says in this passage is pay attention to what's going on around you. In other words, keep your head up and know when your team needs a tag. So if we are fighting a spiritual battle, and if the people around us are in that same battle, we have to really actually pay attention to what's happening in the lives of other people in order for us to know when and how we can pray for them. But what does Paul say here? He says, stay alert. Okay, and the idea is, this is a Greek word, agrupneo. It means without sleep. It actually comes from a hunting term that means to remain awake and watchful and ready. Now, I haven't been hunting a lot, but as a kid, my grandpa would take us hunting every once in a while. It seemed like we were always hunting for squirrel, and we ended up shooting something else. But that's beside the point. Going hunting with my grandfather meant that we weren't actually pulling the trigger a lot. Mostly what we were doing was we were being quiet. We were just waiting, and we were watching, and we were listening. We were scanning, right? It wasn't all action. A lot of it was just sitting really still and paying attention to what's going on around us. And if you weren't alert, you were going to miss the moment to take the shot. And it's the same way with prayer. Intercessory prayer works the same way. If we're distracted, if we're spiritually drowsy, if we're self-focused, we miss out on those opportunities to pray for each other, and we miss the chance to fight for someone who really needs us. Matthew 26, 41 says, Jesus actually said, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. When Jesus said this, he was speaking to his disciples who he had asked to be alert and to pay attention to what was going on. And instead, the guys were sleeping when he returns. So they were not only not paying attention spiritually, but they were actually physically out, right? They were just not even awake at all. And so Jesus is encouraging them, hey, I need you to pay attention. I need you to pray. I need you to listen and be watchful for what's going on. And then he says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. In other words, there are some things that we have to push through and overcome so that we can really be paying attention to what we need to. John MacArthur said it this way. He said, maintaining a watchful sensitivity is strategic in prayer to enable one to know what to pray at the right time and not be asleep at the switch. So this whole idea that we're paying attention to what's going on in the lives of others, the people around us, we're paying attention to what is happening with them so that we know how we can pray and when we can pray for them. John MacArthur goes on to talk about how back in the Old West, the cowboys, when they would stay awake sometimes 16, 20 hours at a time, and they used to rub tobacco juice in their eyes so that it would burn. I don't recommend doing that. You know, maybe there's another way to stay awake, but these guys literally would have to stay awake for a great length of time, and they would do that just so that the pain would keep them awake and keep them alert so that they could pay attention to what's going on. But Jesus told his disciples that spiritual alertness and prayer always go together. You're going to find that throughout Scripture. Anytime we talk about paying attention to what God's doing, we're talking about prayer. We need to be spiritually alert, and we need to be praying. So if it's a tag team, right, your job is to watch your partner. Your job is to track the opponent, look for weaknesses, wait for the moment when it's time to tag in. If you're staring at the crowd, if you're distracted, if you're disengaged, your partner can get destroyed, right? So the whole idea is that if we are not being spiritually alert, we're not doing our job. If we're not spiritually alert, people around us suffer silently. And maybe you've known people that were hurting, and you go to them and you ask them, you know, hey, where have you been? Why have you walked away from your faith? And they might say something like, oh, you know, no one noticed me. No one noticed when I was hurting. And it's not so much that we don't notice what's going on in their life, is that we're not paying attention to the ways that we can be praying for people. We have to be able to enter into that space where we're actually be able to pay attention. So ask yourself this question. Who around you is hurting quietly? Is there someone in your life right now that's experiencing some sort of a battle and they're suffering and maybe nobody knows what's going on? And then who's battling depression, fear, temptation, burnout, discouragement? There's people around us all the time that are dealing with these things. And if we're focused in our own little world, we're going to miss an opportunity to pray for someone. Who needs you to pay attention? Who is it that needs you to pay attention to what's going on in their lives? See, we weren't built to fight this battle on our own. We weren't built to live the Christian life by ourselves. God has given us each other to hold each other accountable and also to be able to pay attention to what's going on. And here's the thing, my friends. You can't pray intentionally for needs that you never notice. You can't be intentional about your prayer if you don't know what the needs are. And sometimes just asking someone what you can be praying for them about, maybe the thing that they need to kind of open up and begin to share about the ways that you can be praying for them. the second thing, hold the rope. I talked about that 18-inch rope, right? Keep praying until God moves. Keep praying until God moves on behalf of your prayers. We're told over and over in the Bible to be persistent in our prayers, to pray continually, to not stop praying, right? In this passage we just looked at, Paul says, be persistent. Be persistent. This is kind of an interesting word in the Greek. It actually means to be strong in a forward direction. It means to show strength in one direction, forward. And the whole idea is that we need to continue with intense effort despite difficulty. No matter what's going on, we're continuing to pray. We're continuing to bring others to prayer. In other words, don't quit. Don't let go. Don't let anything stop you from praying. My friends, it's so easy to get distracted by all the other cares of the world, all the other stuff that's going on in your life. It's easy to get distracted and to forget to pray for each other. But if we're gonna stand in the gap for each other, we need to be people that are paying attention and are praying. We talked about the wrestlers that are tagging in. This looks a little different than Nacho and Esqueleto, right? These guys, you know, the tag is like a big moment, right? In this battle, it's no small thing, and it's even like even more elaborate, right? I think in professional wrestling, but the whole idea is that somebody is waiting for you to come in and relieve them of the battering that they're taking, right? Right? They're becoming weak, and they need you to step in and pray for them. George Mueller said this. He said, "The great fault of the children of God is this, that they do not continue to pray in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere." I think that's true for us. I think that probably one of our biggest issues is that we don't continue to pray. How many of you, someone's giving you a prayer request and you know, maybe you write it down somewhere, or maybe you just want to log it in your head and say, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for you." And then you never come back to it. And then you see that person again, and you're like, "Oh man, I totally forgot to pray for them." Maybe at that moment you offer up a quick prayer, you know, you're like, "Oh yeah, better get at that." You know, we pray for each other on Tuesday nights. As a matter of fact, I feel like it's a big portion of our time is taken up by taking prayer requests, but it's important for us to find out what's going on in each other's lives so that we know how we can be praying for each other. It's not just a let's close our service in prayer kind of thing. It's actually an intimate time where people have an opportunity to share and to say, "Hey, this is where I'm really hurting. This is where I really need prayer." Or you could lift up a neighbor of mine or a friend or whatever it is. It's an important aspect of our lives. We have to be persistent. It's not something we should give up on. We should constantly be praying. You know, children understand this idea of being persistent more than we do, I think, as adults, right? You ever had that kid that's, you know, asking you for your phone? This happens in our house all the time, right? Our daughter's just asking my wife for her phone, right? "Mom, can I have your phone?" You know, we'll be driving somewhere. "Mom, can I have your phone?" We'll be at the house. "Mom, can I have your phone?" Most of the times, you know, Debbie's might be using the phone or something, and she's like, "No, you can't have it." You know, "Mom, can I have your phone?" "No." "Can I have it now?" "No." "Mom, no." "Mom, no." "Fine," right? It's like the persistence, she finally wears her down, and she's finally like, "Okay, fine, here it is. If you'll just stop asking, I'll let you use it." And the whole idea, and a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because when Jesus talks about prayer, he actually uses a parable, and he talks about this, the annoyance, the constant perseverance and the annoyance of this particular woman that's going before a judge to have her case heard. And she's just like going and going and going. And finally the judge is like, "Fine, I'll take care of it." And it's only because of her persistence. She's just annoying him. And I'm not saying that we're supposed to be annoying to God, because I don't believe we can. But the whole idea is the persistence behind that, the persistence that needs to be a part of our lives. Colossians 4:2, once again, "Be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God." There are those two things paired up again, right? Consistency and alertness. We need to be consistent, and we need to be alert when we pray. Never give up and never stop praying. Be persistent in it. D.L. Moody said it this way. He said, "Some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking, but the way to trouble God is not to come at all." In other words, you're not going to annoy God with your consistent and persistent prayer. You feel like you're always bringing the same request to God. Keep bringing them. You're not annoying God. You know the thing that annoys him is when you don't come, when you try to tackle the problem on your own, or when you allow the thing to become unnoticed and not prayed for. So we need to bring our prayers to God at all times. Be persistent in our prayer. My friends, victory requires endurance, and this is true for anything. If you don't have endurance, you're not going to finish the race. You're not going to come through. So spiritual breakthroughs in our lives, they often come after persistence, after we have constantly brought something to God. Some of us, we quit before the breakthrough, right? We stop praying before anything ever happens. Maybe we feel like God's not listening to us, or maybe we feel like, you know, we're not spiritual enough. Have you done that to yourself, where you're like, "Oh, you know, my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling because maybe I don't have the same connection to God that someone else has"? And the truth is, my friends, we all have the same connection to God. We have God's Spirit living in us. So we have the connection with God. We just need to be consistent in our prayers. And so the challenge is to not give up on praying, to constantly be coming to God and lifting up others. Consistent prayer keeps us in the fight. If we're not praying, we're not doing any spiritual battle. The third thing we need to do is call the move. Okay, if you've seen wrestling, you know that they're always calling out the different moves, right? They're watching their opponent. They're calling out the different moves that we want to use against the opponent. And this is the same idea here. We need to pray with precision and with purpose. So in verses 19 and 20, Paul says, pray for me too, ask God to, and then he goes down through a list. He actually gives them things where he's very specific about how he wants to be prayed for. Do you remember the list? He gives some clear prayer requests. He says, pray that I say the right words, pray that I speak boldly, pray that I clearly explain the gospel. It's not very long, and it's easy to miss, but Paul says, I want you to pray for me, and then he gives them his prayer requests. He gives them specific ways that they can be praying for him. It's not just a general prayer, right? I mean, Paul is in chains, and he's thinking about the effectiveness of prayer. And what's he doing? He's telling him, I want you to pray specifically for these things in my life, because this is the way God moves. He moves on behalf of our specific prayers, our intentional prayers. When it comes to prayer, specific instruction leads to effective action. When we're specific in our prayers, God is hearing the things that we're praying about. I know it's super easy for us to just kind of pray a general prayer and just say something like, you know, God bless everybody, right? Or God bless this person, or God, you know their needs. God, do what you do. It's easy for us to do that, but it's also kind of lazy when we pray for people that way. And so it does take some intentionality to go and discover what it is that we need to be praying for and how we need to be praying for each other, right? So instead of saying something like, you know, God bless them, I think I went too far. Didn't go far at all. Okay. Totally lost here. All right. There we go. Try saying this. God, give them strength. God, give them clarity. God, protect their marriage. God, break that addiction. God, give them courage. See how these are specific prayers for a specific person? It's not like a general prayer. Sometimes when we pray, it's like our prayer could be just for just about anybody, the way we word it. And so God is asking us to be specific and pray for people in a way that highlights the things that they actually need to be prayed for. Like I said, specific prayer results in specific breakthroughs. Why is this so important that we do this? So important that we pray for each other. I want you to, just for a moment, picture a fellow believer. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's just someone that you know in your life. And imagine that they're exhausted, that they're discouraged, that they're overwhelmed, that they're barely holding on. Maybe you don't even have to imagine this. Maybe you have someone in your life who you know is struggling. What would it take for you to go to that person and just say, hey, what can I specifically be praying for you about? And maybe it might take a little bit of digging. Maybe it might take a little bit of, you know, you feel like you're trying to squeeze it out of them. But the truth is, the people that want to be prayed for are going to know exactly what it is that they need you to be lifting them up. And so I encourage you and I challenge you guys to do that. Max Lucado said it this way. He said, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Man, this is so important for us to recognize. It's not about how strong and powerful our prayers are. It's about the person, the one that we're praying to. And so if we're bringing this specific prayer request to God, if we're paying attention to what's going on in the lives of the people around us, and we're actually applying that to our prayer life, it's going to make a difference. It really, truly is going to make a difference. I'm sure you guys have known someone in your life that has prayed for someone for many, many years. Maybe you've known someone that's prayed for someone for practically a lifetime. And it's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to feel like, oh, you know, is God even paying attention to what's going on? We don't know how God's working in the lives of somebody else. We don't know exactly what God's doing. We don't know what God's doing in someone's situation. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. None of that is an excuse for not praying. God has given us the command to be alert, to be paying attention to what's going on in the lives of the people around us, and to be bringing those needs to him in prayer. It's the only way that we can fight for each other. You can't do battle in someone's mind and in their heart. You can't step into their life in that way and fight for them. But what you can do is you can pray for them. You can be bringing their needs before God, and you can be going to God on behalf of them. And that's the way that we fight for each other. So my challenge for you guys is to, first of all, pay attention to the people around you. Pay attention to the ways that you need to be praying for them. And then I encourage you to ask, to approach somebody. Find out what it is that you can be doing. How you can be praying. What way can you be bringing them before God? It's going to make a big difference. It really is. And here's the other thing, too. I don't know if you've ever had somebody who is praying for you, and maybe they've let you know, hey, I've been praying about that one particular thing. What an encouragement that is. You know what I'm talking about? When someone says, hey, I've been praying about this thing, and maybe they do a follow-up, and they just ask you, how's that going? I've been praying. I just want to know, has God been moving? And then maybe that little bit of encouragement is going to be that thing that gives them a little bit more of a nudge and gives them just that little extra breathing room in their life. This is a way that God is calling us to be there for each other in our lives. So can we do that? Can we pray for each other in that way? Awesome. Let me pray for you right now. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for the way that you have given us really what is a gift to each other, to be able to lift each other up in prayer, to be able to bring each other to you. And Father, right now, I know that there are those that are, even right now, are struggling, that are facing some challenges, and maybe sometimes the challenge feels too large to overcome. I pray that they wouldn't keep that battle a secret, Father, but they would bring that to a brother or sister so that we can be praying for them. And Father, I pray that we would be alert, we would be paying attention to the lives of those around us, that we would know when and how we need to be praying for them so that we can do battle on their behalf. So help us this week, Father. Help us this week to ask somebody in our lives to tag us in so that we can be praying for them. And maybe you're here right now as we get ready to close our time together, and maybe you're going through a challenging time. You know, usually I would ask you to raise your hand and say, you know, hey, yes, I could use some extra prayer today, or whatever the situation I'm dealing with, I could use prayer right now. But instead of doing that, let me encourage you to do this instead. Take time today to go to somebody and say, hey, can you pray for me? Be specific. Say, hey, these are the things, these are the areas of my life, these are the challenges that I'm facing right now. If you could just pray for me about these things. So if you need prayer, this time the onus is on you. This time I'm handing the responsibility over to you to go to someone and let them know how they can be praying for you. Let me just say this, no one's gonna turn you away. No one's gonna turn you down. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we're here for. We're here to be on the rope, in your corner, waiting to be tagged in. So just let us know how we can be praying for you. Let that person know how they can be praying for you. Does that sound good? Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for this incredible opportunity. I pray that we wouldn't try to do battle on our own, that we wouldn't try to even step into the ring with just ourselves, God. I pray that we would invite others to step into the battle with us. And I just pray for everyone that's in the room right now, Father, that you would give them that overwhelming sense that they're not alone in whatever they're facing. Not only are you walking with them, Father, but you're encouraging others to walk with them as well. So give them the courage, Father, to invite someone to step into the ring with them, God. We love you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome, you guys. Don't forget to let somebody know how they can be praying for you this week. Sound good?
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.